can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
No need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Okay, the simple fact is, I can't get high while I'm recording an episode, and I can't masturbate while recording an episode. I know. Why am I so concerned about those things? Because, oh dear God, I saw that fucking hot piece of man ass yesterday, and my cat is now giving me the same look that pretty much shows how riled up all of my feelings are inside. That's right. If I have my phone in one hand and a cat toy in another, then I can have neither hand down my pants or around a bong. Oh my God, that fucking hot piece of man ass. Look, I thought about just sharing this only with Sanchez, and realistically, I know she's the only one listening and she's the only one that counts. She's not the only one that counts. Anybody else actually listening? Thank you. Thank you. Tell me why sometime. I'm on Twitter. Go ahead. If you're worried that I'll respond, I'll make you feel better and tell you right now I won't respond if you don't want me to. That's okay. I just would like to know what other living, breathing souls are out there. Maybe none. Okay. Oh my God. He was looking so good yesterday. Oh my God. I haven't seen him since before Bridgetown. And he drunk texted me the other night. Kind of flirty. He offered to flip my eggs. Yep, he offered to flip my eggs. I was talking about frying eggs. Here's a fun fact. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but, you know, I used to know how to make fried eggs sunny side up, I'm sure, at some point in my life. But for some reason, when I moved out here on my own, I became really fixated on the fact that I felt like I couldn't do that because I might ruin them. And so for up until about maybe 4 months ago, I never tried. Yeah, that's pretty great. So I was sharing that fact with him in short version, not elongated version like I just bored you with. And, you know, to give him an example of, hey, I'm not really so awesome, here's a stupid thing that used to trip me up. And that's when he offered to flip my eggs. And I explained to him that I have my method of putting two or three eggs in a pan. Again, I didn't go in full detail. I'm just sharing extra with you. But I have my own method of putting them in the pan and putting a bunch of grated cheese on top and sunny side up, and it's perfect. I don't need no damn man to flip my damn eggs. No siree. Oh, and criminy, you know, I've just done that thing with my phone where I realized I didn't set the screen thing, so I can't pause easily. Hang on a second. There we go. All fixed, because, you know, I may just have to pause because I've got the vapors. I don't know. If you can hear the sound of anything right now, it's Millie's claws on the carpeting, the horrible, horrible beige brown carpeting that came with my apartment. And I'm dragging her toy back. And oh my goodness, now there's some giant truck outside. We're just having all the sounds right now. Oh my God. Hot piece of man ass is so fucking hot. Okay, so here's the thing. Last year, maybe around this time, I don't know, I recorded an episode. It was one where I talked about how it was like multiple awesome women during the day that I encountered either on the bus or at the bus stop or whatever. And then I wrapped up the episode super excited because I had run into Lurch at the pub, and we had actually like traded jokes back and forth for the first time. It was the first time that I ever had any long conversation with him, and I was giddy, but I fucked up the ability to send a long file, and so it never actually fully made it onto an episode. And why am I telling you that now? Well, to kind of bring this a little full circle to the present day of also running into him in the pub yesterday, Back then, when I was all giddy with having the chit-chat with him, not that I was looking for any kind of, like, bone down to downtown, but I didn't know that he was married at the time, and I also didn't know that his wife is a bartender there at the pub. Yeah. In fact, he's like, are you sure you don't? Because, you know, we've been chatting recently, and when I ran into him yesterday, he had to leave fairly quickly because that's how I found out that he doesn't have to leave there at a certain time because his wife is a regular customer there, and so they share custody of it as a social place. Nope, it's because she works there. And he and this other guy who's a regular there, this nice old man who I think is dying, they're both like, are you sure you don't know her? And they were like describing her and stuff and like, I don't know who she is. And all I can think of is that I only go there like right around when they open, and I'm only there for like an hour or two at the most if I'm sitting outside reading and really getting a lot of reading done. And she works the later afternoons, evening, night times, whatever shifts, that I'm never there. And I'm like, no, dudes, I don't know who the fuck she is because I don't fucking sit my ass at the bar drinking for 6 hours straight. I know, crazy. Oh, and that's why I can't have anything to do with a super hot piece of man ass. You know, and it's, oh my, he's got a sense of humor, you know, like when we were texting back and forth the other night, he was drunk texting on tequila, I have found out since then. That's disgusting. It's on so many levels, tequila. Tequila is multiple levels of disgusting, if you ask me. I sent him a picture of this purple asparagus that I'd gotten, and I've shared the joke on Facebook with my friends and stuff, but I got this purple asparagus at the grocery store, and so I made the comment that my pee was going to smell like purple rain. And he appreciated that. He thought that was funny. He likes funny women, which I know this because that's one of his, there's this older woman who apparently wears lots of Timbers gear that, again, he and the captain, that's what I'm going to call the old man there, thought that I would also know because she's such a regular, and I'm like, dudes, do you not notice the fact that I keep my face mainly buried in a book? Which, you know, to his credit, Lurch did acknowledge by laughing and again saying that's one of the reasons why you're so awesome. Quit telling me all the reasons why I'm so awesome, you fucking hot piece of shit. God damn it. God damn, he's fucking hot. Okay. But yeah, so like the drinking buddy that he was going to go hang out with since he couldn't hang out at the bar since his wife, ex-wife, was about to show up to work. She's an older woman who he was basically saying that he likes hanging out with her because she's hilarious. And he really, I didn't talk much about Bridgetown because we didn't talk like all that much. I mean, whatever. Because he was on the run. He was on the lam. It was weird. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, I was there sitting out front reading in the sun, and he is always very, very conscientious and considerate about not sitting at my table and smoking. Like, when he comes out for a smoke break and we do our little chitty chats, he'll sit at the table next to me, or he'll stand at this planter on the other side of the sidewalk from me. So he's never like right up close and with his cancer stick and cancer smoke, which is very considerate. And when I was sitting outside, all the other tables were full. So when I went to bring my drinks inside, I saw him not fully around the corner. He was sitting on the picnic bench that's there on the side parking lot, where from his vantage point, he could see me sitting and reading, but I would have really had to turn around to see him. So I don't know if he was just lurking there because he didn't feel like interacting with me whatsoever, or if he was doing it because he didn't want to smoke in my face. What I do know is when I did see him as I was bringing my drinks inside and he was halfway through a beer, I said, oh, hello. Like I was surprised to see him. And he got up and gave me a big hug and said how awesome it was to see me. Well, he's like, oh, it's so good to see you. And I was like, okay, Oh, you hot piece of man-ass giving me a hug. Jesus Christ, you're so scrawny and bony, there's really not much to hug. You know, I keep saying he's a hot piece of man-ass, but he probably doesn't really have much of an ass when it all comes down to it. But goddamn, those sinewy arms. Okay, I'm done. So many tattoos. Oh, he is bad boy incarnate. Listen to me. Can you hear my loins lathering up? Like my pants are just gushing. My clit is fully engorged. There's smells in the apartment and they're all coming from me and none of them are asparagus related. So he's like, how are you doing? And I said, I'm awesome. And he's like, you know, that's what I like about you. You're always awesome. And I'm like, you know, you're full of shit when you say that, because I am not always awesome. And I do not know that you like me. I did not say that last part. And he's like, you're taking off? And I said, well, I could stay a little bit longer if you want. And he's like, yeah, I'll grab another beer. I've got a little bit more time before she shows up. And then that's when I found out that that's really why he has to leave and like what days of the week she works there. So those are the days that he's not likely going to be there. And I'm like, well, I'm glad we've got all that established. Oh, good Lord. So anyway, yeah, during that little bit of time that he had a second beer and I had some more of a soda, I told him a little bit about Bridgetown, and that mainly I told him the highlight of Janine Garofalo giving me the shout out, the anonymous shout out from the stage, and that like she could have said anything she wanted from that point on because I just was over the moon. And he was like, right, that's so awesome, that's so great, blah blah blah. And he was saying how much he liked her, and then he talked about when he went to go see Louis C.K. live. So look, he's a man that appreciates humor. But unfortunately, he also really appreciates tequila. Cause yeah, we were talking, and he was mentioning. Oh, hang on, I've got a sneeze. Okay, where was I before I sneezed and blew my nose like a sexy bitch? So yeah, we were talking. We were out front. Oh my God, he's so fucking hot. Look, let me just go ahead and describe him from head to toe. He was that guy in high school, and these, you know, everything that I'm going to explain are also all the reasons why he's off limits to me. It's just, it's so immensely frustrating because I have not had my interest piqued by anybody in a decade, we'll say. Going back to before I was married, really. I don't know. It's a little harsh. I don't know. Okay, so this is new terrain for me. And I mean, it's not that it's unfamiliar terrain. It's just terrain that I never thought that I would be traversing again. That's a lot of T's. Oh, T's. Oh my God, he's so fucking hot. Okay, this is going to be so annoying to all the lesbians. I'm so sorry. Maybe it's not that annoying. I mean, because, you know, human relations are human relations, and we're all fucked up, and we all have things in common as much as we have things that are different. Like, I really don't believe in the whole, like, oh, we shouldn't acknowledge the ways that we are different. We should only focus on the ways that we are the same, because, like, that's how you end up with lack of diversity. And before I go back on this tangent of hot piece of fucking man ass, let me just say one other thing about Bridgetown Comedy Festival that I think I probably left out before, and that is the fact that it was the most diverse range of artists, I'll say, entertainment, whatever, that I've gotten to experience in a really long time. You know, that's just naturally that way. The comedians were mixed race, African American, as well as cracker, Asian. Comedians were lesbian, gay, bisexual. And all of that material was covered, you know, whatever each person had, you know, they brought that into their material. And it was just, it was so refreshing and so normal. Like, as much as I like Portland, it is super white, which is weird for me. And it is, I mean, obviously everybody is like free to be polyamorous and everything else in between kind of thing. But it's almost like a huge badge here that somebody wears, like this giant badge of identity, whereas seeing how it was just naturally worked into people's material was really refreshing. And then the age range, like there were comedians that might have been as young as their late 20s. And I'm going to say that Ron Lynch is probably near 60. So, yeah. So, okay, side note on that. Let's get back to the hot piece of man ass. He is like that guy that I would have had a crush on in high school in the smoking lounge. Because, yes, my high school, being in Virginia, tobacco country, in the 70s, beginning of 80, 81, you know, I left in 81, that's when I graduated. We sold a smoking lounge, which was a designated area outside by the shop class, where you could stand and smoke and listen to your Van Halen on your tape deck. And yes, I would do that. I loved the first Van Halen album as much as I love punk rock at the very same time. I fucking loved that first Van Halen album and was even a member of their fan club. Thank you very much. So Lurch, as I'm going to call him, would have fit perfectly into the smoking lounge because A, he is a smoker. B, he's a derelict. Like, he's the kind of guy that I'm sure skipped classes or didn't go to classes or whatever. I'm sure he's somebody who probably started partying when he was in junior high and has not seen any reason to stop. He's the contemporary Butch LaFever. Yes, that's a real person's name, Butch LaFever. He was one of the smoking lounge gods that me and my other music loving nerd friends kind of worshipped from afar. Because yeah, that's just it. Me and at least one other of my nerd music friends would hang out in the smoking lounge. None of our other nerd friends would. But me and Margot would, and she ended up dating the other king of the smoking lounge, whose name I don't remember, but he looked like Joe Perry. And it was the weirdest thing, because he looked like Joe Perry. Tall, everything, full-on stoner, full-on smoking lounger, and Margot was like a straight-A student in advanced placement classes, and like they could not have been more different. So it was like a huge victory for us nerd gals that she bagged Joe Perry, I'm assuming. We didn't talk about things like that. We were ladies. So I have no idea how often she was finger banged. Thank you very much. So yeah, Lurch is that guy, only now it's 30 years later, because he's 48. He's over 6 feet, maybe 6'1", 6'2", I think he said. In conversation. Lanky. He's lost some weight that he didn't need to lose, but that's because that's part of his despair from his wife leaving him in January or kicking him out, whatever, in January. He's got tattoos on his arms that are all very well done and nice. It looks like he's got an outline for some, they look like dogwood flowers that just haven't been colored in. I don't know if he's only a black and white tattoo guy or didn't have the money for the tattoo or whatever. But they're not like gnarly, angry tattoos. And he's got white and gray hair. Oh, my fucking God. Like that just right there has me. Something about white and gray hair on men. And he wears black Clark Kent kind of old man glasses and usually wears like a t-shirt, like a black t-shirt of some kind, and black jeans and black boots. Yeah, he is the poster boy of stay away, stay away, stay away. So yeah, we were hanging out and talking, and here's the thing. Like, it's not just because I find him so hot that I think this. I can usually tell when somebody is googly-eyed for me. Doesn't matter male or female. Like, I've always been able to tell. And, you know, before they make it obvious by saying something. You can just tell when somebody's face is like in a regular position and then completely lights up when they see you. Yeah, that's, there you go. And just, he's just like smiling and looking at me the whole time, even if I'm talking to somebody else. Oh my God. And that, you know, that alone is, it's a very attractive quality when somebody is that attentive to you. Like, that's just an attractive quality in a pure, like, stroke my id and my clit kind of way. He's so hot. So hot. And so, yeah, he was going to have to clear out, and he was going to meet this other friend of his to go drinking, because she was going to meet him outside of his place. And the only reason he was going to go drinking with her was because she was going to take him to where they were going to drink and take him home, which means, of course, he was going to be driving drunk. That's genius. Like, what the fuck? You're over 40. She's closer to 60, I think, or something. I don't know. Maybe he just has an older lady fetish. Maybe he's got mommy issues. But yeah, that's gross. And so he was still mentioning about what he's about, his depth of shittiness right now, where he's getting through the day at work at this new job that he has, being a repair guy. See, are you seeing all of the motherfucking red flags? And I think that's part of why I'm talking and doing this as an episode, instead of just sending it to Sanchez, because, you know, I don't ever want to listen to this episode and go, hey, you dumb fuck with his fingers up your cunt. Remember when you said you weren't going to have his fingers up your cunt? You said that right here. So I'm holding myself accountable. Accountable and cannibal sound like a lot of the same right now. I don't know why. I've had a lot of coffee. Okay. Oh, my God. So apparently what he's doing on the reg is drinking tequila until he passes out, because he has a really hard time sleeping. And he knows that alcohol is a depressant. He knows that alcohol fucks with your sleep, and yet he is doing that. And so when he mentioned tequila, I was just like, oh my God, I think the last time that I had tequila was when I was in college and throwing it up out of a window, and like, never again. And then that's when he joked that that's why he's drinking tequila every night until he falls asleep, because he's hoping that that'll cure him of not wanting to drink tequila. And I'm like, that would be funny if it weren't true. You know, sometimes true and funny aren't the same things. Sometimes they're just sad and gross. So gross. Oh my God. Tequila is so fucking foul. So, and the other thing he kept saying, oh my God, it's hard to focus on what he was saying, because he's just so attractive. He was saying that he was, you know, trying. Like, that's his big thing, is that he's trying, and, you know, he's just not there yet, but he's, you know, trying. And I'm like, dude, you're not trying. Because if you were trying, instead of going out for more drinking, because you can't drink here at the pub because your ex-wife is about to show up on shift, instead of going to go drink elsewhere, what you would do on this beautiful day is we would actually go for a walk, which when you were drunk texting, you said you would love to do. And we have not gone on a walk. I've heard you talk about how you like to go walking and how you like to go look at flowers and how you like to take pictures. My other hand is now doing the yammer, 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 talkie, talkie, talkie symbol. It's not down my pants. Thank you. But you're not doing that, dude. You can't just give lip service to trying and then wrap your mouth around another glass of beer. And that's why I can't even entertain having him as a fuck buddy. Because yes, of course, in my state of being high, that thought crossed my mind. Let me backtrack a minute here. Yesterday, I also went on a lovely morning walk myself before going to the grocery store, and I went to the dispensary for the first time since January, when I stocked up before my medical card ran out, and now I have to pay sales tax if I buy any weed, which makes it like really expensive. So I really stocked up a lot and had like made it ration out. And I didn't want to get any before Bridgetown Comedy Fest, because I didn't want to risk coughing a lot and being sick or anything like that. So yesterday I decided I looked at my budget and decided I'm going to get just like a little tiny bit to go a long way, because that's the other thing. I'm just not smoking as much as I used to, for so many reasons, and all of them are good. And And so I was like, but I'm going to like enjoy a, like I'm going to get high before I go to the pub with my book to sit and read. And I forgot that, you know, just how much getting just, you know, marijuana is an aphrodisiac. We'll just leave it at that. So it was a deadly combination, you know, plus drinking a soda in the hot sun, three ways to Sunday bad. But yeah, I can't, you know, I can't even entertain the idea of having him as a fuck buddy that finger bangs me in the park. No, I've not been finger banged in the park. That would be disgusting. I've had sex in Golden Gate Park. That's a completely different story. And I've had a very enjoyable pussy pup. Like, I can't even say it. A very enjoyable pussy pat down while sitting on the bench at the Seattle Art Museum. That would be with the white boy with dreads with the soup can penis. Yes, I can at times, I guess you could say, I could be a bit of a sexual daredevil. I don't know, just fucking in Golden Gate Park in a very shrouded area when, I mean, please, everybody does everything in Golden Gate Park. It's amazing that, like, we weren't already in somebody else's cum puddle and heroin puddle. That's a sexy combination. But yeah, like, I can't even entertain that idea because, god damn, he's so hot. But yeah, like, I know that the only reason why I even was thinking in the realms of having him as a fuck buddy was because I was super high. And I'll admit, when I came home from the pub, and he went on his merry way, I took care of business over and over and over and over again, to the point where I was like, god damn it, I'm just going to watch the latest episode of The Handmaid's Tale to try to kill this boner. And, you know, I was really thinking that, you know, with an episode of more oppression and some graphic violence, that would nip me in the bud. But no, our heroine, she actually got her groove on a couple of times. That's right. Even though she's enslaved to be a surrogate, she still had some good sexy times. And I'm like, that did not help me at all, Handmaid's Tale. Fuck you, feminism, letting me down again. God damn it. But here's the thing. I was smart enough to turn off my phone because I knew from the googly eyes that he was giving me there at the pub, and then after getting his drink on with his drinking buddy, that when he got home, he would probably text me. And I did not trust myself not to be a fucking idiot like I've been in the past. I mean, I was pretty sure that I was going to be smart, and I knew that the only reason that I was even halfway tempted was because I was super high. But I just took that extra precaution, because here's the thing. Somebody can pursue me and be as googly-eyed and all of that as much as they want, but it still is ultimately up to me. You know, I mean, unless he's like a man of the past and is a rapist, you know, that happens. When will I just not ever mention that? I don't know. It's still up to me in terms of how wide that door is. And so, yeah, I turned off my phone, and sure enough, when I woke up this morning, he mentioned that it was so very nice to see me. And I've not responded, and I'm not planning on responding. In fact, I actually swiped our entire message conversation so that it's archived. So when I look at my phone, I can't be tempted to go, oh, see, isn't that cute? When he was super drunk and liked my asparagus joke. No, because the bottom line is he's super drunk. He's super drunk. That's super gross. And that's kind of what all this comes down to, is that I can't even have him as a friend, really. I've had alcoholic friends before, and some of them stay alcoholics, and some of them quit drinking, but don't resolve the issues that led them to be an alcoholic in the first place. And not to toot my own horn, toot toot, but you know, I've had a fuck ton of therapy that I've actually learned from, and I'm putting better habits into practice as a result. So I just have to keep this in check of like, he is nice man meat to run through my head and work through my loinal issues. That can be enjoyable. If I'm at the pub when he's there, although now that I know the days that his wife works and so therefore he can't be there, really, or he has to leave by like 4 o'clock or something or 5 o'clock. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I'm never normally there that late. Then those are going to be the days that I go because I'll be less likely to run into him. And if he texts again, you know, maybe I'll respond in text. But yeah, I'm not making plans to go for a walk with him. I've said this before. You know, people show you who they are, and it's just a matter of, do you actually pay attention to it? And he has shown me that he is still somebody who drinks from the moment he gets off work until he passes out at night, and then he has to get up at work at 4:30 in the next morning. And, you know, at 48 years old, that's fucking sad. Even if it's because your marriage just blew up in your face. Like, look, my first year of being by myself, and I was, like, very candid with him, like, my first year of being by myself was really difficult, and I was waking and baking a lot, if you know what I mean. But on the other hand, part of me ending my marriage involved moving cross-country, finding a new, like, a completely upending my life, whereas he's just living 2 blocks away from the pub where his ex-wife works. You know, he's still in the same town. He still has all of his same friends. He still has, like, all of that. So, you know, in some ways, maybe that's easy. I don't know. But it's just, I think I may have said this on another episode. If not, whatever. I think alcohol is so much grosser than cigarettes. Yeah, it's so much more insidious. Like, all I do is just see how it's corroding people from the inside in terms of, like, all their internal organs and all their mental health and everything. And that's the other thing. I have no idea really what he's like as a human being because all I have seen him is as a drunk. So, goddamn, he's so nice to look at. And it's nice being, especially, and this is what's the tempting part. And this is why I was tempted to, like, well, maybe I could just have him as a fuck buddy. For one thing, that doesn't work for me. I've tried it before. I've had some great sex, but there's always been feelings. And that's always fucked things up. What was I going to say? Oh, it's, like I said, it's very attractive when somebody else finds you attractive. Like, it's, because I'm by myself a lot, I don't see myself reflected in others, so I don't see my own awesomeness reflected back to me as much as I deserve to. Look at me, I just said that. And so it's really nice to see that in him. But that's also what I get out of going to book club. And maybe some of the members of book club are alcoholics too. I have no idea, but none of them are drunk at book club. So that's good. And yeah, so one more super healthy thing that I'm going to say just as a reminder to myself and everyone else is like, oh my God, I want to fuck him so badly. Oh my fucking God. Like, I just want to go like, because here's the thing. Something will be said at some point. I just know how people work, not just men. I'm just talking people, sexual beings. And I know at some point something will be said, and my response would be, well, I just want to know what's your position on eating puss? And that's when you open the door too far. So let's make sure I don't say that, okay? Let's all Can we all get behind that? Okay, good. So here's the healthy thing that I'm going to try to focus on. Maybe it'll kill my libido, the fact that I'm going to be walking with a bunch of olds. There's an organization here called Oregon Walks that I initially signed up to be a volunteer for, where there's walks once a week or so, sponsored by AARP. Oh, Janine Garofalo. Okay, that's the thing that she jokes a lot about, being 53 years old and getting stuff from ARP. So I just filled out this, sure, I'd like to be a volunteer. And holy shit, I already got an email back, and I'm going to my first walk this Saturday morning. We're meeting at this hospital, and then we're going to walk to Overlook Park and learn the history of it and all that. And Overlook Park, I've been to a couple of times before, and I like it, but there's so much crime and stuff there sometimes that I no longer feel safe going there by myself. So that's the other reason why I wanted to do this. And then apparently I'll be meeting one of the volunteer coordinators, and she's thinking that she can talk enough with me during that walk that the next one in June that I have volunteered for, that I'll be able to do that without her there. Because by doing this with Oregon Walks, I guess what I'm supposed to do is talk with the olds about, here's what Oregon Walks does for pedestrian issues and safer sidewalks and vote and blah, 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 which I know sounds like perfect for me because I walk and talk in a really high-pitched voice when I'm aroused. But still, it's me talking to a bunch of strangers. But if there's any demographic that I feel confident around, besides bad boys who are super fucking hot, Jesus Christ, it's the olds. It's the old ladies. And the first walk is going to be in the pouring rain, so I'm going to be wearing my fucking raincoat that everybody likes. So there, let's all focus on the fact that I'm going to be walking with old people instead of how much I want to be boned by an old hot piece of man ass. Okay, I'm literally bopping the top of my head with part of my fist because I just can't believe I'm this. Oh my God, maybe I should finally watch Faces of Death for the first time. Maybe that's what would finally kill this erogenous zone. I could never watch Faces of Death. I just have so many ethical problems with that. Okay, so that's it. That's it. Please remember, this is the episode that I say no to the hot piece of man ass, so I can't turn back. Everybody's going to hold me to that, or at least Sanchez. Sanchez and I have pinky sweared that we would call each other out if on bullshit and bad decisions. So here we go, Sanchez. I'm no longer fisting my head. Thank you very much. I've got my little pinky like a little crook, and so we pinky swear. And so there you go. Okay, goodbye. God damn, he's so fucking hot. Okay, goodbye.